Let's get scratching.
We got an explosive broadcast coming to you. Listen up. Sega games, just keep playing them. Sega!
We're back. It's the Sega Bits Sega Report Show. Live. Get ready for Sega interviews and news.
I stand still alone at twilight.
Hello and welcome to the Segbit Swing Report Show. I wonder if my mic was on that whole time. You heard me chit-chatting away in the background. If you did, then you would know that was the voice of Barry. And if you didn't, then I just gave away, I just wasted a few moments there, a little behind-the-scenes chit-chat. But bringing him out here, Hi. We have George. Mr. George.
Is it high too early?
Mr. George himself. So this is our favorite and most disappointing games of 2025 from Sega. And George, do you remember why it's disappointing and not worst?
Because there's some years that there's not even really a bad game. Like, there's some years that we're just disappointed, not even in a game, but aspects of the company. So I think having disappointment would be more broader and give us more to talk about, I think.
That's a very fair and diplomatic way to put it. I would say because Sega never makes bad games, they never make bad decisions. I blame the fans, and I blame, Nintendo and external forces, weather, politics, religion. But we're gonna keep all of that out of this show tonight. And we are going to, I guess, first kind of look back on 2025. And if you visit SegaBits.com, it's a little website I've heard of, over there we have an upcoming games button in the top tab. I think that's what it says. And that actually takes you to our forums, where we have had a fantastic... a curated list of Sega games made by Berto, who has been doing this. We don't ask him to do it, but he does it every year. And I love it because he's treating the forums almost like his own wiki, which I think is a great use of the platform.
Yeah.
So let's just do a real quick look back at 2025. The year kicked off, we had Virtua Fighter 5 Revo. George, what can you tell us about this? What is this? There's been so many Virtua Fighter 5s.
It gets a little confusing, especially since they did this one is not on the PS4, but the PS4 version is updated with some of the movesets. I don't know the specifics on that. I do know this is an updated, so this is a brand new version of Virtua Fighter 5, the way they did Final Showdown R and other previous ones.
Yeah.
They updated, they added moves from 3, from what I've heard. So some of the old combos returned that weren't in 5. So this is to a lot of old gamers that are way better at me at Virtual Fighter. They're really excited for this one. I'm more like, I want the new Virtual Fighter. Like every time I see something little, they always have like something that always impresses me on 6. So I'm like, this game's already been here for, 20 years already? 5?
Right. Yeah, and Virtua Fighter 5 Revo, or R-E-V-O, it closes the book on Virtua Fighter 5 mm-hmm. after so many revisions. It's kind of the Street Fighter, 2 of the franchise, yeah. where they just kept it going for so many years, almost 2 decades, I want to say. It just felt like it just kept going. And I'm thankful they did this, but I'm also thankful that we're moving forward. I really hope the next game is Virtua Fighter 6. Like in title, but we'll get to that at the end. We're going to look ahead to the future. Another title, this I completely forgot, came out. Like a Dragon, this Pirate year. Yakuza in Hawaii. And that's not a slam on it. I actually really liked this. It was my favorite spinoff that they've done. I think Goro Mojima has been long overdue. In fact, we talked about it, I think, last year. It might have even been on an episode like this or a Sega Talk where we were like, you got to give Goro a, you know, give him his own spin-off. And they did. Yeah. What did you think about this game?
I like the combat. That's about it. I mean, the story was cool. It was just like a little side story, but I feel like Goro Majima in the Yakuza 0 was such a deep character for a lot of people that they expected to expand on his character as an older man now, but it just like, he became just like, he doesn't know his memories, so there's no real progression for his character in this game at all.
Right. On one hand, it didn't do that, but on the other hand, it really just like was the essence of Goro Majima, which I appreciated. I kind of was fearing that if they did this and it became kind of like the Logan, you know, of Wolverine, where it's like, he's just like, imagine if they did it where it was him after all of those games with all the memories and all the history, and he was just like depressed and sad or had this weight on his shoulders. And I think just giving him, having basically a coconut hit him on the head and have him forget everything, like in an episode of Gilligan's Island, was like the best thing to do, because you just got pure Goro Majima, and it had some really cool bonuses and everything. So yeah, I honestly forgot about like a Dragon Pirate Yakuza because it came so early. It almost feels like a last year game. We also had Two Point Museum. I don't have much to say about that.
I played one of the previous ones, the college one or the hospital one, I think.
Yeah.
And I thought they were fun for a while. They're like, just like click here, upgrade your thing, put your money. You're basically the manager of the place. I think I would be way more into a museum than a hospital, because I actually go to museums and I like going to them. I mean, when I do go to them, I enjoy looking at it. So it'd be nice to have my own exhibit. Like, remember the Chicago one on the bottom with that lady's pictures?
Yeah.
I just put that one on top of this one.
Yeah, you know, there is this whole PC real-time strategy side of Sega that we don't talk about too much on Sega Bits. I know we get the press releases, we news it when a new game comes out, but it is a lot to keep up with, and it's honestly, it's a aspect of Sega that I think Sega of America doesn't care too much about, that Sega Europe really pushes and Sega Europe really sees as a part of their DNA. In fact, just recently there were some interviews that came out saying that Sega of America in the 90s were telling Sonic Team and Yuji Naka to make more like adult-oriented games, and he got pissed off and he was like, you want me to make porn? And and they were like, no, we want to make Grand Theft Auto. We want to, and he was like, no, Sega is like Disney, you know, like there was that mindset. And so I'm kind of seeing that with Sega Europe, where they're like, we are the PC real-time strategy company. And like Japan's like, you know, not really. I'll blow through a few of these. We have Monopoly, The Metal, American Dream, and Arcades. We have My Deluxe, Prism Plus, which is kind of just fun to say. City Wars, powered by Yakuza, that was a crossover, I believe. I could be wrong. That looks really weird, that whole situation there.
They look very weird. Yeah, like, why is Kazuma thinking?
I don't know. I don't know about any of this.
Smiles?
Ongeki Refresh came to arcades. We also had some Switch releases, Streets of Rage, eSWAT, and Super Thunderblade. Oh, this is a big one, George. Paw Patrol Chase to ESO came to arcades, as well as Total War Rome 2 Emperor Edition. We're getting into something here. Yakuza 0 Director's Cut. This was controversial, to say the least.
Yeah, and it's part of my... We'll talk about it in the
future. We'll talk about it. Puyo Puyo Tetris 25, or 2S, it looked like 25. That was on the Nintendo Switch 2, as well as Sonic X Shadow Generations as a Nintendo Switch 2 launch title. Warhammer 40K Space Marine Mastercrafted Edition. Man, that's
funny. I just beat the second one the other day, like a couple weeks ago. So, cool.
NBA Baller. We also had Endless Dungeon Definitive Edition in Japan. And I do believe they actually sold this company off.
I thought so too.
I thought so, yeah. So maybe this was like a remnant of that. Hey, a look, an Atlas title is here. We have Raidu remastered The Mystery of the Soulless Army. And yeah, if you've been watching us over the years, we used to do the Sega and Atlas favorite games, but we realized we never were picking Atlas games, so I kind of dropped it from the title.
Probably for the better. Plus, they're under Sega, so they should, if we pick a game they make, it should be fine to talk about it on a Sega podcast.
Yeah, that's fair. There's a few more. Egg Console, Mado. Oh, man, I can't even pronounce that. Persona 5, The Phantom X. That was a mobile and PC game. Mm-hmm. Angry Birds Bounce. This might be...
Finally,
this might be a contender for best game of the year. This one's actually kind of exciting to me. I'm just a UFO catcher nerd, so to see a new UFO catcher come out was cool. UFO Catcher Triple Twin 2. It's cute, you know. It has that pink and white aesthetic, which I love about their cabinets, or whatever you call them, claw machines. There's so many here. I'm gonna skip some of these. If you're watching on the video, though, you can definitely see them scrolling by. Lots of digital things, lots of crossovers, lots of Japan-only titles. The House
Ilk,
of the...
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say Ilk was talking about how that was like the whole year's Genesis updates, three titles. Did you pay for the Nintendo Online Plus and try the Genesis games on there?
No, I didn't. In fact, I've never subscribed to that. I don't like that idea. I really wish that they would go back to selling digital one-off releases that you could buy for like $2 to $5 and own it, quote unquote, forever.
Digital license.
Yeah, exactly. And Elk is noting in the comments too. Amplitude made the Endless games. The House of the Dead 2 remake, I've heard
that's
negative
the most
things.
Disappointing game.
Yeah.
Sure.
So disappointing, we probably forgot about it. Because,
yeah, I did.
I haven't thought about this one because they didn't do a digital or a physical release yet. So I've kind of moved on from that. There was also several limited run game Yakuza special editions that I've seen people finally getting in the mail. They had Zero, Kiwami 2. Also Virtua Fighter 2 from Limited Run Games. I picked that up. I actually really liked that one. I thought that was a cool release.
I wish they would do the other Xbox Live Arcade games that were exclusive, like Monster. What was that one? The Monster Boy one? The one that was translated for the first time on Xbox Live?
Ah, yes.
Monster World 4, I think.
Correct. Yeah, there are a lot of Xbox Live Arcade games. That, I mean, I even would like to see Sonic 4 Episodes 1 and 2 from them. They gave us Virtua Fighter 5 Ultimate Showdown, which you had mentioned earlier. That's the Revo. Yeah, essentially. And then Shinobi, Art of Vengeance came out. I think that was probably one of the bigger titles, even though... Mm-hmm. Sega of America never gave it a physical release. It became a limited run games title. And did you buy that physically, or did you give the middle finger to limited run?
I paid for it physically, like a chump.
Like a cuck?
I still haven't even given me my Sonic Generations limited editions for like a year and a half. They even like sent out an email saying there was something bad with the copies of the limited edition, so they're going to have to hold it back.
Yes.
I don't think they even had one, to be honest with you. I doubt it that they even had them manufactured, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a whole other debacle. Maybe we can talk about that on an upcoming Sega News Bits. Sonic Racing Cross Worlds, I'd say that was one of the biggest titles to release this year, especially considering it's still relevant right now. We're getting new content. Knights just released. Have you played that new Knights content?
I played, not the Knights content, but I have played the game a little more. Not as much as I would like to play, but I am very impressed with the amount of content and this whole online, like, I know that some people don't like the whole, like, kind of like, I guess you would say live service game type feel to it, where you go online and there's always new things to do and grind.
Yeah.
Personally, I like it because you get more content, and if you don't want to, you could just never go online and not bother with it, and you still have your base game. Yeah. So I'm cool with it, and I think it's really cool that they did all that.
Yeah, I agree, and I've been playing it obsessively when the festivals drop. I've only missed out on, I believe, the Hatsune Miku final reward, just because those early festivals, they didn't quite balance how points worked, so it was really a grind. Like, you would have to play for like maybe 8 hours cumulatively over the course of 4 days, which is really hard to do sometimes. Thankfully, they've changed it. The Knights Festival, I got in 2 hours or less, I think an hour and a half, wow, which is really surprising, but I had a string of first place wins. I got a 5 times,
nice,
and then a couple 2 times bonuses, and I'll have to say, like, that was really fun to play. It almost reminded me of the old days of Christmas Knights, where it was just like, I was playing as Knights, I was getting all these cool little rewards for free, I was playing the Knights music and the tracks. I just thought that whole event was really fun, and it actually got me nostalgic for Sega Saturn, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah.
It did its job.
It did do its job. Persona 3 Reload, that came out in October to the Switch 2.
Yeah.
This one I need to be careful saying.
Fuck Party.
Angry Birds Fuck Party. Oh, I'm sorry. Angry Birds Flock Party is the absolute worst title ever. We also had, apparently this released, Valkyria Chronicles 4 Complete Edition. Limited run games. Mm. Yakuza 3, another limited run games. Yakuza 4, another limited run games. Yakuza 5, Yakuza 6. Valkyria Chronicles Remastered. They just went all out with the Sega edition. So many that I've actually skipped so many of these. I forgot they released. I would say, if this isn't most disappointing, but Puyo Puyo Champions Classic Edition was the most pathetic limited run games release, because if you've seen that game, it is a $5 title. It is hardly a game. It's wild that they made like a $50 edition.
Yeah.
And then we've seen some other things. Football Manager 26. Correct me if I'm wrong, but did they even make 25, or did they skip that year?
No. Skipped it to make this one better. So there's like a lot of hype around it for the Football Manager crowd. So I'm sure it's going to make a bajillion dollars.
Sonic Rumble just made it in after so many months of delays. It almost felt like that game was vaporware, or that we in America were existing in an alternate timeline where the game didn't exist, but we were still hearing about it. We'll have more to say about that. Yakuza Kiwami, released to the Switch 2 as well as modern platforms, along with Kiwami 2. I actually picked up the Steelbook from Europe, which sold out very quickly, and I was initially kind of regretting the purchase because it was $100 with shipping. But then I realized that if I had bought the 2-pack of Kiwami 1 and 2 and Yakuza 0 for PS5 here in America, it would cost me the same price, and I would be getting, you know, those little plastic cases. But it was a cool Steelbook bundle. There was a UFO Catcher immersive arcade experience. I don't know where this happened, but...
So you get picked up like in Toy Story?
Yeah, you get picked up by the claw. We've also had some other arcade titles you can see scrolling through here, as well as Company of Heroes 3, Total War Napoleon for iOS and Android. You can see we're kind of getting to the bottom of the barrel here. Total War Warhammer 3, Tides of Torment, lots of little additions and things. So, there you go. That's our look back at 2025. And if the show started with, you know, let's say a bunch of people, we dropped off a lot because that was kind of boring. But let's get to the exciting stuff, George. Should we? And I used to have a drum roll. What's
Where
this?
Is it?
Is this it? Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I'm not ready for that yet. Oh, here we go. We are going to discuss the most disappointing games of 2025. So first off, George, it's going to be you. I'm going to give you the drum roll, and then you reveal it, and I'll show the picture. Here we go. Let's time this right. George's most disappointing Sega or Atlas game of 2025 was...
RGG Studio.
The whole studio? Oh my god.
I feel like after Like a Dragon, Yakuza 7, there's been this weird like stink within the studio. And I, you know, when you said like, oh, Goro kind of lost his mind, that was another thing where I was like, man, I don't know. I'm just disappointed with Yakuza 8 so much in the story that had so much potential, but they like have to make Kazuma Kiryu the main character. He takes over the whole show. It's not really Ichiban. Mm. Even though the story revolves around Ichiban, the guy that should have been the boss for Ichiban, his brother, fights Kazuma. And Kazuma basically has the main fight in the whole game. It's so disappointing. I was also disappointed that they feel like they're stumbling. There hasn't been a new Judgment game to finish up the trilogy. And I think... I like Pyro Yakuza, and I like the gameplay for both games. I think Yakuza 8 is gameplay is super strong. I think the Goro Majima games are super strong gameplay-wise. I'm happy about the gameplay. I just think story-wise and narrative-wise, they've gone backwards. We've had the director's cut for Zero that's bringing back dead characters again, and it's almost feeling like it's a cliche at this point that no one stays dead in the Yakuza universe. There's no danger. It's almost like they're getting to the Fast and the Furious jumping the shark, which is fine for this franchise because it's a bit silly. But when you bring in so many characters back, it's like, oh, now you're just doing whatever. You could be, you know, it's just silly. I don't know. And I do think that the next game that Negoshi is making with Gang of Dragons, with the worst name I've ever heard in my life for a game, looks amazing. The mocap looks amazing. The new engine update that he's doing over there looks amazing, but it's literally his Yakuza. And the last game he worked on was Judgment 1 and 2. He wrote the story, and he was the concept guy. Those were great. And he also worked hands-on on Yakuza 7 before he left, and then 8 was their first game without him. It's definitely could tell that they miss him and the people that left with him. I'm hoping that they pick it up because I really like these games and I'm really looking forward to their next franchise they're also doing. But Gang of Dragon is pretty hyped, so we'll see. That's my most disappointing thing.
All right, yeah, I will go along with your pick to an extent. I will say that as more of a casual Yakuza fan, I will see, you know, you and our contributor Aki at in the Discord sometimes go off on more of the plot details there and being disappointed with character choices and stuff like that. So I can't speak to all that just because I'm not like super into the deep lore and character stuff. And I have not experienced every game. Having said that, I have bought every game, and this year definitely has been kind of a weird one just because they've re-released Zero and Kiwami 1 and 2, and I feel like I just bought those games. Zero, from what I've heard, has a lot of kind of weird director's cut choices. It's almost like the Sonic Adventure director's cut, where the director didn't actually work on this, so it's a weird title, and then on top of that, they add deleted scenes that are not actually deleted. They're just like new content with weird character decisions. I think I don't think you touched on it, but there's also all that drama around Kiwami 3.
That's a big thing too.
That's more of a next year problem, but I will say that it definitely tainted the RGG brand, especially the way that they're just not dealing with it at all and not speaking to it. But yeah, it just kind of, I think what they have coming looks really exciting. What Project Century? What is that? What did we end up calling that?
What's the name of that? Something Heaven or something? Stranger Than Heaven?
Yeah. I think that looks really exciting. I think Virtua Fighter 6 is looking really good. But those are RGG games that are not of the Yakuza franchise. And I think where Yakuza is going right now, it's been kind of weird just because it's been mainly remakes, remasters, and side stories. And I think we need something really big and exciting. We're going to be hitting, what, the ninth game in the franchise soon? And I think 9 and 10 are ones where they really need to pull out something new and exciting. Otherwise, it's going to be like a little rinse and repeat with the 7 and 8 formula. I do love the Hawaii setting, though. I love the new gameplay things they're adding, and I love the arcade games. George, breaking news. Well, not really. Emergency Call Ambulance is going to be in Kiwami 3. Are you excited?
I haven't decided to play it yet, but now that you said that game is going to be on there, I guess I have to play it now.
That game. We played that with Chelsea at the arcade meetup at the Galloping Ghost, and what a fun game. You drive around the Chicago Loop with dying children in the back of your ambulance. And it
must have seen a lot of children die.
It's a Sega game, a Sega arcade game with child death. You never thought that would happen, but it did. So I think Yakuza redeemed, right? Because of that. All right. So Barry's choice for most disappointing Sega or Atlas game of 2025 is Sonic Rumble. What?
Wow.
I thought Barry was a Sonic fanboy. I thought Barry was a Sonic Rumble creator with a creator code.
You don't watch Fall Guys? Or?
Let me say, all right, so the rollout for this game was so bad. We were sitting in theaters for Sonic the Hedgehog 3, and they played a trailer for this game. Do you remember that? I don't know if you remember that, but yeah. AMC did it. And I thought, man, That's really cool. I can't wait to try this game out. A year passes, nearly a year, and they finally release it after so many delays, so many false starts with release dates, so many tests in other parts of the world where people were like already, you know, a year into the game, and then finally the US gets it. And what we got was the core game is quite good. It almost reminds me of Sonic Adventure, Adventure Fields, where Sonic's not super fast, but he's got all these moves. It is very much a Fall Guys ripoff, I would say. But the game itself is fun. The problem is that, and I was trying to think of like a good analogy or comparison. So, like, I have a couple of kids. I've been doing Segabits for, man, what is it, 15 years now? So, you know, we've all gotten older. But I have a couple of kids, and I like to have a clean house. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'll walk around, and I'm like, man, I can't relax yet. I got to pick up those crumbs off the floor. I got to put the pillows away. I got to clean up these toys. I got to put these dirty clothes away. And that's how I feel when I open Sonic Rumble, because there are so many flipping notifications all over the screen where I have to like tap to redeem my red stars. I have to tap to redeem my rings. I have to tap to unlock my daily bonus items. I have to tap to unlock the daily items for the event. I have to tap the daily items for the season, these whole season passes. I have to make sure I check my messages and unlock those items. And you could ignore all that stuff, but if you have a small bit of OCD like I do, it's really frustrating to skip all that and just jump into the main game when you know you have notifications. And I had to laugh because there were some people in our Segabits Discord playing this game, and they were like, oh, don't forget that you have to turn your fizzy gems into, like, other things. And I'm like, wait, what? There's like a whole other system of converting gems into like things. It's just like, come on, like, just have, you know, like, I played The Simpsons Tapped Out for man, how many years was that on? 12 years. I checked, George, I don't know if I told you this, I think I collectively played that game for like 3 months. if the, it might have even been worse, but like collective, like nonstop 3 months
time.
Worth of, like if you took collectively over 12 years, I played 3 months of my life was spent just playing that game. And the reason I was so obsessed with that game was because it was just so easy to open it up, tap on the things that I was unlocking, tap around my town, and then turn it off. I'd play it for like a couple minutes each day, but that added up. And with Sonic Rumble, I haven't played it for since launch, really, just because I feel like there's too much going on in those menus. So anyway, that's my long Sonic Rumble rant.
You have to be an economic expert to be able to properly distribute all your coins and other unlockables in that game, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. And I mean, it's just, I mean, I'll check my Sonic Rumble. I haven't opened it since, I wouldn't be, it's now Godzilla's there. So there you go. Godzilla's crossing over. Like, as though we don't have enough crossing over happening with Crossworlds. They're like, oh, there's completely different crossover happening. What the, look at this.
That's pretty sick. You got to admit, they're using the Sonic Forces stuff.
Oh my god, I have to download 46 megabytes of...
it's worth it.
Data. I guess... Okay.
Godzilla's pretty big.
I think all is forgiven because they have Vector standing next to Godzilla, which is a pretty cool pairing. But, like, look at all of this crap happening. Like, this pop-up just came up and it says, oh, you got to spend 99 cents. No. You got to spend 99 cents. No. You got to do the year-end countdown sale. No, I just closed three windows. Now it says scramble ended. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 buttons around here telling me I have to tap things to clear or unlock. It's just
isn't
too
this
much.
Like a kid's game? Like, this seems pretty predatory to be a
look
kid's
at all
game
that crap on
to,
my
like,
screen. Look,
how
I
many
have...
times is somebody going to get ripped off buying something that doesn't do anything?
I have gifts, I have event things. Oh, and then they also stick you on like a pirate ship with a bunch of people you've never met, and you're doing something with them. So they got to simplify that. It's just too much. It's too much. All right. Well, that's the disappointing. So we had RGG Studio and Sonic Rumble. I think the good thing here is that RGG can, and I think could do better next year. Sonic Rumble could do better if they, you know, make some changes to the menus and all that. So these are ongoing things. I think they're on a watch list, right? Would we say that? They're
watch list.
They're on a watch list right now. Let's check out what our pals over at Sonic Weekly have going on for their end of the year celebrations. And then when we come back, we have a brand new award that we are going to be giving out.
Whoa! Hey, SegaBits fans! David from Sonic Weekly here. And this week on the show, we're checking out the top stories from 2025 in the world of Sonic the Hedgehog. Crossworlds, Rumble, DCX Sonic, heck, we even touch on Chowtails. You remember that? Of course you do! Find us wherever you find podcasts by searching Sonic Weekly or head on over to SegaBits.com. Hope you give us a listen.
All right. Thank you, David. So, George, this next award that we're giving out, this is brand new. We are calling it the SegaBits Sega Writing and Journalism Award. And this one, it's a little bittersweet. It's one that I don't think would have come about unless certain events hadn't transpired. And so I'm going to be awarding this to Nick Thorpe, the features editor at Future PLC. He worked at Retro Gamer Magazine. And I'm going to try to keep myself composed because I did write some words about Nick, and I will say once I got to the end, I was feeling a little misty-eyed. For those who don't know, Nick Thorpe, he worked as the features editor at Retro Gamer Magazine. He started with the magazine in 2013 as a staff writer. Nick also wrote for Arcade Heroes, and he was an active member of the Sonic Retro community. And in 2013, he actually wrote for SegaBits by covering the UK Summer of Sonic event and interviewing Takashi Iizuka. I personally, I remember Nick, he reached out to us. He asked if we would like coverage of the event and mentioned that he was building up his writing experience for what would soon to be his longtime job at Retro Gamer. Nick delivered an article and interview that, in my opinion, exceeded expectations. And it was really the site Segabit's first big interview get with an active Sega developer. Before that, we were talking to, you know, the social media team, really anyone who would talk to us. But it was really special to have Takashi Iizuka be interviewed by someone representing Segabits, and having him answer some really well-crafted questions. You know, we've been doing interviews ourselves. We've had people on our site doing interviews. And I think especially back in the day, George, we weren't that good at it. Nick, right out of the gate, he did a fantastic job asking some questions that really showcased his ability to look at gaming from more of a journalistic level and not just as a fan. Years later, when I met Iizuka myself, I actually mentioned Segabits and he remembered the site, no doubt, thanks to Nick's interview. In the years that followed, Nick was a proponent of Sega. He pushed for Sega cover stories in the magazine, and he delivered countless must-read retrospectives and interviews. Nick was always quick to respond to emails or direct messages whenever we needed anything, and was nothing but generous with his time. In 2020, he contacted me in need of a last-minute replacement for the Collector's Corner feature in Retro Gamer, and I have always suspected that it was his way of saying thanks for the opportunity to publish his story to the site 7 years earlier. We spoke, I think it was on Skype, for an hour-long interview, which he used to write the story, and despite it being my first time really truly talking to him for an extended time on camera, it felt like I was reconnecting with an old Sega fan friend. And so that was really special. Sadly, Nick passed away in early December of 2025. And since news of his passing broke, it really seemed like every person in the Sega and Sonic community that we knew Nick on some level, whether it was a personal connection or simply through his writing and being excited to see what he had in the next issue of Retro Gamer. Losing Nick is really a punch to the gut of Sega fandom. His work, personality, and friendship will be missed, and I hope that any Sega fan seeing or listening to this subscribes to Retro Gamer and reads his work. You can get a digital subscription that has the entire archive. You can go back to old issues and see what he's written. And I suspect that the upcoming issue is going to celebrate his life and his career and his work, and hopefully have some more writing that we've yet to see from him. And I'll just say, like, if you have a video gaming friend that you haven't spoken to in a while, or just a friend, reach out to them, send them a message, give them a call, because it was, like I said, it was really hard losing Nick. I've actually thought about him a lot, even though I only knew him on and off over the years, but he made such an impact, and I just wanted to celebrate him and just say thank you for everything, Nick. You will never be forgotten. So that is our award to Nick. And, you know, I don't know what else to say, but I will say that, like, it's rare to have Sega-focused journalists in the retro space. So much of it is, focused on, I don't know, Nintendo, other areas, and so it's rare. It's rare to have such a committed and great person out there, and it's sad that we've lost him.
It's rare to just write about video games in a magazine. There's no magazines. He's done that. It's a very small club, and it's only talented individuals right now that are, making their way to being able to write on magazines or make a living off of writing retro stuff. There's not, I can't even think of any other site that's making that their main point and making a money and having a team under them that, makes it their living. Maybe Time Extension is the only one because they're part of a bigger ad network, but I don't even know how well they're doing. But it's a privilege to work on something like Retro Gamer. It's one of the last magazines of its kind.
And I you know, he's one of the few out there that I sort of aspire to even like be a little bit have a little bit of his talent. And so I do look to his work, and I look to the work of other writers out there writing about Sega history, and you know, they're I don't know. I'm rambling, but he will be missed. So let's move on to something happy. Well, that was happy too. Nick brought us a lot of great stuff. So let's take a look at our favorite Sega games of 2025. I'm trying to remember if my slide comes first or yours does. So this is going to be a surprise. So the next one, favorite Sega game of 2025 is, oh hey, it's me.
Oh.
It's Sonic Racing all around the world. I hate that theme song.
It's
But yeah, Sonic
beautiful.
Racing Cross Worlds. So that was for me, it was never a surprise that the game was actually as good as it was. I remember in the lead up, people were going, like, oh, Sumo's not doing it. They were saying, oh, the tracks look too sparse. And I'm like, well, I don't really play racing games to like look off in the distance and see like an NPC walking around. But as soon as I learned that the team who worked on Initial D in the arcades was behind it, I'm like, guys, just hold off. Wait till you play it, because these are Sega Racing Arcade experts behind the game. And to be quite honest, I think a lot of the talent at Sumo Digital had left since then, and that's why we had the I guess the stinker that was Team Sonic Racing. I booted that up recently. Have you played that recently?
The old Sonic Team Racing?
Team Sonic Racing, yeah.
Yeah, no, I haven't played it since it came out. Like, I played it and like, I unlocked everything and I was like, eh.
It was pathetic. You boot it up, and the roster looks like a mobile game. Like it's like 12 characters or something, or 14. It's so small. And then on top of that, you're like, where's Charmy? Where's Espio? It's just so. It's so weird, and there was no content after launch. Like, meanwhile, Sonic Racing Cross Worlds, at the end of 2026, I feel like that roster is just going to look like Smash Brothers in terms of how many characters are going to be there. I mean, we're essentially getting between maybe 3 and 5 characters a month. At least into mid 2026. I think Pac-Man is coming soon, which is a great addition. I think Bomberman's a great pick. I even think Ninja Turtles, as weird as that is, it's oddly apt just because Sonic and Ninja Turtles are both like products of the early 90s, and they both existed as Archie comics, so there is a little synergy there. But yeah, just going back to the game itself, like it's just such a solid racer. It's everything that I wish Mario Kart was, especially Mario Kart World. It just, I don't like that open world aspect. I like when racing games have very strict tracks. Yeah, it's fast, it's flashy. I really have very few complaints about it. But yeah, if someone, we have Dr. Scott, and it's, I think I said Bomberman instead of
you did say Bomberman.
Mega Man, but they're the same. It's the same character, basically. No.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know what else to say about Sonic Racing Crossworlds. I've been really enjoying it, and the game gets better and better with the content updates. I know I've told you, George, that I was going to write a review for the site, but I held off. I'm ready to write that review now, just because I feel like I've finally gotten the game in a place where it's a fair review. It's weird with modern games. They do these content updates, and the game that you got at launch is completely different from the game you're playing like 3 months later. But
I think it's hard to do that, you know, like have a team making new content for a game to give away half of it for free, just right. to make keep the game relevant. It's a big task, and I think it's crazy how good Sega has handled it all and been generous with content, because they're usually kind of stingy on that. So very impressive.
Yeah. So I think we're going to be surprised by how much content comes from this. I don't think we're going to see a sequel anytime soon. If anything, I think they're going to go the Mario Kart 8 route and just keep releasing content for it, which I'm totally happy for. I think treating this more like a Phantasy Star Online 2 that could exist for a number of years with new content updates and maybe even a new physical edition down the road that has all the content on disc, just to double dip us idiots, you know, who buy the limited run games release. I didn't do that, thank God. But yeah, so that's Sonic Racing all around the world. How exciting. All right. Next up, George, we have your pick. So without further ado, George, what is your favorite Sega game of 2025?
Dr. Skotnik was right. It is Shinobi, Art of Vengeance. I was thinking about this one. I almost picked Yakuza, but since it was just a side game and it's reusing so many assets, I decided to go with Shinobi, Art of Vengeance, because it's like a brand new game, and there hasn't been a Shinobi game of this quality in a while.
Yeah.
Or a Shinobi game, period, I think, for a long time. They kind of knocked it out of the park. I did do a review, and my main complaint, and I almost feel like looking back at it now, it was just me being nitpicky. But when you play the original games, they're all kind of like the best action scenes back to back. This new game, there's a cutscenes. It feels a little more modern, but I feel like if they didn't have it, people that never played the old Shinobi games would have complained that it had no story.
Yeah.
So it's just me being an old man, to be honest with you. This game is great. The gameplay is great. The art is great. The music is great. I wish it had more music. That's my only complaint, because you spend so long in the game and you want to hear more tunes because they're so good. But yeah, I love this game. I think everyone should play it. I think it's underrated. I thought more people would be talking about it. I feel like Streets of Rage 4 had more positive feedback and more people talking about that comeback and revival
right.
than this Shinobi game. So, but I like it. This one and The Messenger are probably some of my favorite retro type ninja games to come out. So yeah.
Good pick, George. Good pick. And you know, you did mention you wish more people knew about it. Do you think the lack of physical release in the West hurt maybe the title at all?
I don't know what it is. I feel like this year we had so many good games. Like if you think about it in general of everything, they had that Silk Song game come out, and then they had a few other games that were taking up all the press. So it was kind of hard, I think, for Shinobi to come out. Maybe they could have released it early this year. I don't know how it is, but right now there's a lot of games coming out that it's hard to keep up. I think a lot of gamers are just stuck playing the most popular release. There's like so many games that have sold so many copies. There's also that Expedition 33. They got like every single video game award. But I really enjoyed Shinobi, and I'm so, like, it even got Indie Game Award, the Expedition 33. I almost felt like giving Expedition 33 the award as a joke.
Well, you know? Sega published it in Japan, I believe. So there,
Expedition 33 is my game then, guys.
I think so. Yeah, no, that's a great pick. And I would not be surprised if next year we get a Shinobi Complete Edition with that villain DLC that they've been doing with, who is it? It's Deathadder, Mr. X, and Eggman? Am I wrong?
Yeah. Eggman, yeah.
And Bomberman is in it too, I think. no, but yeah, and it's funny because Sega's really embracing the crossover. It's almost like if Sonic doesn't cross over, or if Sega doesn't cross over with things, it's weird. Like, we've got Godzilla, we've got Mega Man, we have Pac-Man, we have Ninja Turtles, Avatar. They say Godzilla. And then even with Shinobi, they're like, oh, let's bring Eggman and Streets of Rage and all these things. Oh, Majima. That's it. Majima. Really? Majima? What? That's weird. But yeah, so let's look ahead now to 2026 for our hopes and our dreams. I don't have a big list that we're going to run through, but off the top of my head, we of course have those RGG titles coming out. We also have, George, you really wanted to talk about it, the New Energy New Era.
Right. We need to get release dates on those. We need to get some gameplay on those. It's getting kind of ridiculous. They're kind of missing in action. The one we got the most of was Shinobi. The Crazy Taxi with the cop stuff looks amazing. I'm not sure about the Golden Axe reboot, but I'm excited for the Jet Set Radio and Crazy Taxi because those two are underrated in the I know for us they're like the biggest games, but like the gameplay for Crazy Taxi is ridiculously fun, and there's a lot of stuff you could still do with Jet Set Radio, I think.
Yeah, you know, I think Jet Set Radio is my number one that I really want to hear more info about. I hope the game's actually happening. Otherwise, it would be really funny that the redesign of Beat got a cameo in Super Monkey Ball, yet the game actually never released. But no, I think it will happen. I think it's actually going to be very similar to Sonic Racing Cross Worlds, where there's going to be a offline and online component that maybe aren't two distinct different games, but definitely are two distinct different experiences. So I'm excited for that. I'm hesitant. Crazy Taxi is a weird one because I'm like, shouldn't that just be an easy game to release? Why is it taking so long? Like, Crazy Taxi should not have so much time and money poured into it when they you know, farted out three games in a matter of a couple years. You know, like, really? We should be treating Crazy Taxi like it's Fortnite? I don't know. We'll see about that. 2026 will also have, and I have the first piece of merch here, Sonic's 35th anniversary. There's the logo. It's going to be green, the green Chaos Emerald, Sonic's 35th. I have it on good authority from our friends at Sega that they have a lot of plans for the 35th, both in branding and likely events. Speaking of events, the Sonic, what is that called? The Cafe. Sonic, is this Sonic Cafe? Is that what they call it? Speed Cafe. There we go. I had the hat over there. They opened it in Chicago. Sega was nice enough to invite me out. So it's we're back, I think, in Sega's good graces. I don't think we're going to be getting hoverboards and like skateboards and drones in the mail anytime soon. But at least being invited to events was very special. I actually talked to a Sega staffer there a lot, actually. I think we talked for about 30 minutes or so. So it was great reconnecting with them. I'm looking forward to 2026, even though we're not sure what's going to be coming out. And
I'm excited for getting anything more of Virtua Fighter 6. Stranger in Paradise or whatever they call that new game with the blue eye character that's taking place in different time periods.
Oh, Stranger Than Heaven.
And I'm really hyped. I'm probably the only Sega fan hyped. Probably not, but Total War 40K. It looks amazing. It looks huge. But so far they've only shown Space Marines. I'm hoping that we get other demonic creatures or something to, because I want to see more of it. When I saw it, I was like, that's it. I need to see more. But we'll probably see a lot more of it in 2026. That universe is huge, and it's getting more popular every year, I've noticed. More mainstream people, like actors, talking about it and saying they play it all the time. I think the guy that played Superman is like all into it, so there's a bunch of memes that go around. So, right. Yeah, I'm excited for that. I can't wait to play it. I spent a lot of hours on the fantasy one, so definitely going to be a game I'm going to play day one.
Absolutely. So, yeah, so just in review, on our watch list, who needs to improve Sonic Rumble as well as RGG Studio. A salute to Nick Thorpe for all of his great journalistic writings. I'm sure we still have some to come. I'm anxiously awaiting the next issue of Retro Gamer. It's going to be bittersweet, but I also really want to read more words from him, and I apologize if I got a little... if I kind of stumbled through after that, but it's
a good job.
Like I said, it's really been weighing on me. I don't know. Like it really hit me harder than I thought it would. I guess it makes me feel, happy that so many people also, miss him and appreciated all of the work that he's done. And, I don't think we're going to get over it, ever. And then, of course, our favorites, our big picks that will be thrown out there on the socials are Sonic Racing Cross Worlds and Shinobi, because we like to tell Sega that we like when they do good, but we also like to tell them we don't like it when they disappoint us. But remember, Sega never does bad. Sega always does good, and we look forward to them continuing to do good in 2026. So, George, is there anything else you want to tell the fine folks at home before we close out this, our final Sega anything, Sega talk, Sega bits, whatever, anything of 2025?
Thank you guys for joining us. I hope you guys have a great New Year's, and we'll see you guys in 2026.
Awesome. All right. Well, signing out, we'll see you on the next episode of the Sega Bit Swing Report Show and the next episode of Sega Talk. I'm going to plug that right now. We're going to be kicking off the new year talking about Sega of America box art design. Yes, we're going to be talking about everything from the Master System all the way through to the Sega Dreamcast. And we're going to get to talk about what everyone's been wanting us to talk about, which are those little candy stripe color-coded cases that we love so much. So we'll see you in 2026. Happy New Year.
I want to see you standing there. In the night, dream delight, I found someone who really cared. In the night, dream delight, I want to see you smile again. みんなの心に輝く星を。メリークリスマス。